Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So the debate, vice presidential debate last night, and I wonder how many of you watched it. Did you tune into it? We did last night, and we had a good time watching it. Thought it was a really good debate. I thought that it was a good debate because of the candidates, not because of the moderators. I do think the moderators did what the moderators seem to consistently do. Maybe save CNN. Who knew? Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. They're the gold standard right now, considering that Fox News hasn't had a chance to actually have a debate because Kamala Harris is too scared to do it, which, you know, it would be a tough one for her to be able to answer tough questions. And it's clear that she has worked very hard to avoid that. I really wonder if the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz campaign feels like they need to get out there more. Are they going to ride this out the whole time? I think that it's very likely that they're going to. They've gotten this far. Why would they end up changing it? Jonathan Carl on ABC News had this to say. And I think that, he's very anti-Trump, correct?
He is left-leaning.
Donald Trump hurt his feelings. And you can tell by the way he asks questions on the Saturday shows and so on. But he was asked to react to last night's debate, and he said this.
You know, but first, David, I got to say, I think that Walz did seem unsteady. And frankly, what I saw in Walz is somebody who has not faced questions on a national stage since he became the Democratic nominee. He was simply out of practice. I mean, I don't know why they've done it, but they've kept him out of the limelight. They've kept him away from reporters. They haven't had him do any interviews. And he was clearly unsteady through much of that debate. And in contrast, J.D. Vance was very smooth. He took the arguments not to Walz. He was very respectful of Walz, took it to Kamala Harris.
J.D. Vance and his approach won the night. I really feel like the big story out of last night was that J.D. Vance is a lovable dude.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That he's not quote unquote weird. That he was just kind of, he's like, I think you said it in the first segment, Midwest nice. He is a lovable guy. He's got a sense of humor about him. The one thing that really kind of, I don't know if you remember this, right before they went to the first break, he did the fourth wall break look at the camera. And it was just something that it's like, okay, this guy has a sense of humor. He has a sense of what he's doing. And he knows how to present himself as a nice guy. So I do think he came off very nice.
Do you think he knows how to present himself as a nice guy, or do you think he is a nice guy?
Well, it's really easy to present yourself as a nice guy if you are, in fact, a nice guy. And I think that's what it is. I think we saw truly who J.D. Vance was last night.
I do, too. I'll play a couple clips here from the actual debate so we can talk about these. I think this is one of the biggest issues that was discussed and really not handled well from the Walz side. Here's J.D. Vance on the border.
Thanks to Kamala Harris's open border. And I didn't accuse Kamala Harris of inviting drug mules. I said that she enabled the Mexican drug cartels to operate freely in this country. And we know that they use children as drug mules. And it is a disgrace. And it has to stop. Look, I think what Tim said just doesn't pass the smell test. For 3 years, Kamala Harris went out bragging that she was going to undo Donald Trump's border policy. She did exactly that. We had a record number of illegal crossings. We had a record number of fentanyl coming into our country. And now that she's running for president, or a few months before, she says that somehow she got religion and cared a lot about a piece of legislation. The only thing that she did when she became the vice president, when she became the appointed border czar, was to undo 94 Donald Trump executive actions that opened the border. This problem is leading to massive problems in the United States of America. Parents who can't afford health care, schools that are overwhelmed. It's got to stop, and it will when Donald Trump is president.
I mean, you can tell that the Harris-Walz ticket, their policy is literally copied and pasted from the Biden-Harris policy. And it was so important for J.D. Vance to articulate that the border policy was the undoing of 94 executive orders of Donald Trump's. That's their border policy. And Tim Walz stupefied me last night when he said, you know, it's not just the executive branch that can do this. And then he wants to talk about the bipartisan bill, which was a trash bill to begin with. But yeah, the Biden administration, the Harris administration, they undid 94 executive orders of Donald Trump's. And then look what happened. The proof is in the pudding. Let's get to our guest. Hogan Gidley joins us once again, America First Policy Institute's senior advisor for communications, also the former national press secretary for the Donald Trump campaign. Hogan, it's great to talk to you today. Great debate last night for J.D. Vance. Wanted to hear what you thought about it.
Really was really impressive. So many things happening at the same time at that debate, and watching J.D. articulate the vision, the America First policies of Donald Trump, the ones that have been proven to be successful to make people's lives better, was really just a sight to behold. And I thought one of the things that kind of shocked most Americans probably was that he wasn't the ogre, mean, woman-hating caricature that the media had been trying to portray him as since he got in the race. And I think people tuned in to watch that. And instead, what they got was a guy who came from humble beginnings with a mother who was an addict, who couldn't raise him. He had to be raised by his grandmother, who went to, you know, the Marines, college on the GI Bill, completely relatable to most Americans. He was charming. He was compassionate. It was a great moment when Tim Walz was talking about how his son had witnessed a shooting, and J.D. Vance just stopped and said, Tim, I had no idea your son had witnessed a shooting. That is horrible. I mean, you know, Christ the Lord, that's so sad. I mean, this was a man who really shocked a lot of folks who tuned in to see him flame out or to see him fiery and mean. And you realize that's not who he is. And when you're talking about a race in presidential politics separated by a few thousand votes across three states, vice presidential debates really don't matter all that much. I think this one does, because it speaks to the decision-making skills of those at the top of the ticket. Donald Trump picked someone who not only is smart, not only is articulate, but who is relatable to the American people. And I think because it was such a reverse of what so many people thought was going to happen, I think it's going to matter ultimately in this race.
Yeah. You took my question that I had just written down right off my paper as to the wisdom of the people at the top of the ticket. Kamala Harris doesn't sit down and talk to the American people through a very, very, very soft press. It's kind of amazing that even in the media climate that fawns over her, that she hasn't found herself in front of more people with a microphone and a camera. But Tim Walz also has opted out of doing that as well. J.D. Vance will sit down with anybody anywhere. Donald Trump has done the same thing. Do you think that the American people, now that we're into October, do you think the American people identify the hiding campaign of the Harris-Walz individuals as a problem? Is it problematic for them?
Well, I think the left really kind of got a dose of reality based on what they were trying to do, which is run the Joe Biden strategy of 2020 and just kind of keep their candidates bubble wrapped away from the press, not answering tough questions. And it came back to bite them. I mean, let's be honest. What you saw was someone who wasn't really ready for primetime, someone who had not been tested in the fires of the mainstream media. And by the way, if Tim Walz and Kamala Harris do ever go out in front of the media, all they get are softball questions anyway. Like, you're meeting up with an adoring, fawning press, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why wouldn't you do it? But you saw a little bit of that last night. J.D. is really quick on his feet. He's able to articulate the vision. He's adept at pivoting off of issues he doesn't like, pivoting back onto the ones that the American people care about. And that's because he's been tested in a lot of these fires and gone into very hostile territory. And Tim Walz has not done any of those things. Early on, he was real shaky. I think Tim ended up settling down. But it's hard being Tim Walz because, after this whole thing started, you can't go back and talk about the good policies of Kamala Harris because they've all made our lives worse.
Yeah.
You can't talk about her vision for the future because she's not outlined anything except, you know, the Oprah Winfrey strategy of you get a car and you get a house loan and you get a college loan. So he was in a tough spot. I think J.D. did a good job articulating it. I still think, though, the moderators failed drastically to do what they should have been doing, which is asking questions, letting them debate, instead, of course, you know, tipping the scales as they only can do by asking J.D. Vance to answer for things Donald Trump had said, never asking Waltz to answer for anything that Kamala Harris had said, no policy. And then when they would go back and forth, the moderators would step in and say, now, Governor Waltz, would you like to respond to what J.D. Vance just said about this issue where he said X? Like giving him a roadmap to where they thought they should go after him. I mean, it was just kind of typical of the mainstream media. But nonetheless, J.D. handled it. He pushed back at the right times. He was restrained at the right times. And he was able to really deliver a strong performance.
Completely agree. We're speaking with Hogan Gidley. He is a senior advisor for communications at America First Policy Institute. I propose that the positive reaction that voters on both sides of the aisle had from last night about it being kind of a refreshing, nicer debate between two. Well, we're in the Midwest here, so I'll attribute a little bit of that niceness to the Midwesterness in the two candidates that are there. But I feel like J.D. Vance's biggest victory was he took every opportunity to make the debate about the American people. And I think that the American people are often not communicated enough, especially in the post-debate fodder, because usually Donald Trump is part of the equation. And these folks, they wake up hating Donald Trump and they go to bed to have dreams of hating Donald Trump. He's always at the epicenter of everything. And J.D. Vance took the opportunity to highlight families in America and economic pain that Americans are feeling and concern about fentanyl coming into our suburban neighborhoods where you think you're safe from it, and you're really not. And I really commend J.D. Vance for bringing the American people back into the discussion.
It was a masterclass. And I think so often we talk about the people at the top of the ticket, but this still comes down to what's best for the American people. And I think J.D. addressed that on many occasions on all the issues that matter. And so, look, these things are kind of big news stories for a day or two, and that's kind of the end of it. But I think J.D. gets a bump in popularity. Even some of the polling that had flash polls him winning, some of them were tied. And people called me, some of my friends on the right said, how can they be tied? J.D. Vance did so much better. And I said, listen, when you're already at a deficit and the media has already called you all the horrible names in the book for months at this point, to come out as a tie is a huge win.
Yes.
In the face of the lies they told about J.D. And one thing I'll say, because we talk about the decisions of the two people, I want to make this clear. Kamala Harris's decision-making so far has been abysmal. She has decided to leave the border wide open. She has decided to cast a tie-breaking vote that ushered in, you know, economic destruction. You're paying more for gas and for groceries because of her decisions. And when she had the chance to pick a running mate, she chose someone who had done all of the things, all of the liberal policies, all the radical ideologies that she wishes she could do from the federal government. They did them at the state level in Governor Waltz. Not to mention the fact he himself, this whole shtick with the empty platitudes and the all shucks flannel wearing Midwestern shtick, it doesn't work because people in the Midwest don't want taxpayers to be forced to pay for illegal aliens to get free college education or free health care.
Yes.
That's not something people really relate to. So this whole idea that he's somehow relatable, it just shows a pattern of bad decisions from Kamala Harris, coupled with the bad decisions from Tim Walz and what they've done to Minnesota versus Donald Trump. Again, a lot of Republicans, you remember, said, J.D. Vance, oh, man, that doesn't get us anything. Like, what was that all about? And it turns out, yet again, Donald Trump was right.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was willing to be right while it was unpopular until people could come around to see why he made the decision that he did. Hogan Gidley with us right now. One last quick question before you go. We've got 34 days until Election Day. I live in Illinois. People are voting now in Illinois. What happens in these next 34 days to assure that Donald Trump does pull out a sizable victory?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the non-sexy parts of politics. It's blocking and tackling. It's getting out the vote, voter mobilization, voter registration, ballot chase operations, ballot harvest operations where it's legal, making sure you have poll watchers and poll workers reporting problems you see. Listen, we just had a catastrophic flood that has displaced a lot of people in Western North Carolina, in Georgia. really horrible what has happened to their lives and livelihoods. I mean, people are dead here. Trillions of tons of water pouring through, just destroying towns, wiping them off the map. I mean, ballots have already gone out in North Carolina. What happens to those ballots? What happens to the chance to vote again should your ballot be destroyed in some flood? I mean, there are all kinds of questions like that that are going to occur, too, further down the road. Once those people start to kind of come up for a breath and get their lives back together, you're going to have some serious questions and doubts about how some of these states are going to be able to even conduct an election. So things like that we're watching for right now, but it's still incumbent upon all of us. If you care about the future of this country, you have to go out and vote, and you have to get others to do the same. Vote early if you can. Vote on election day if that's what you prefer, but you can't let anything prevent you from doing that. That's the whole game. The left never sleeps. They never let anything stop them from going to the polls, whether it be early, whether it be in person. They do it. So we have to do the same.
Yes. Amen to that. Hogan Gidley, thank you for your reaction today. We appreciate your time this afternoon.
Anytime, Annie. Thanks so much.
Yep. You take care as well. Bye-bye. Hogan Gidley is America First Policy Institute Senior Advisor for Communications. He's also the former National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign. Great to have Hogan on to talk to us today and get his reaction. It might mirror some of yours. Maybe it's the opposite of what you thought about last night. You have to let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We want to know who you think won the vice presidential debate. Kurt commented, said Vance, but Timmy did better than I expected. The moderators get an F again. David said it was obvious that Walls wasn't ready for Vance. You know, there were some suggestions on some networks that maybe he was made to be too prepared. But when he took the podium, if I were his, I'm going to put it this way. If I would have been his mom and I would have watched him take the podium in a way that looked the way it looked last night, I would have been like, oh, baby, come on. You can do it. It's all right. Show confidence. You got this. You worked hard for this. He did not look confident. Weekends America, next.